This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is entitled, A Life in Balance with Mrs. Terry Chappell. Mrs. Chappell directs the ladies' ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church, as well as teaching at West Coast Baptist College and authoring books, including It's a Wonderful Life.
Friends, I don't want to say old friends. That word old now, I don't use as much as I used to use. But we're so glad you're here, and we cherish the time that we get to, even just the little time that we get to spend with you every July, and we're glad you're here. Every year it seems like, well, not every year, but quite a few years I get to speak on balance. So I'm praying that today I get it right, so I don't have to speak on balance anymore. Okay, so I think everybody's in here. Now, one of my favorite authors wrote a letter to the Proverbs 31 lady. And you probably have heard this, but I want to read it again because I don't know about you, but when I read Proverbs 31, or when I'm done, you just go, I'm a failure. It's hopeless. And so if I could write, this is probably what I would say if I was writing to Proverbs 31 woman. It says, Dear Mrs. Proverbs 31 woman, I must confess, I never really thought much about you until recently. To be honest, I've always tried to avoid you. Please don't take this personally. I'm sure you're a lovely woman. I mean, your husband praises you, and your children rise up and call you blessed and all. And next to my mom, you probably make the world's best apple pie. What I want to know is, how do you do it? How do you get up early, bring food from afar, plant a vineyard, speak with wisdom, make coverings for your bed, build up your biceps, and do all that other stuff? Do you take vitamins plus iron plus calcium plus minerals? Tell me, Mrs. P., are you content with your life? Did you have any regrets? Does your husband leave his orange pills wrapped up in a dish towel so that when you pick it up, the pills fly all over the house? How do you find time for him at the end of a long day? Does he always consider you're worth more than rubies? Frankly, I find your list of daily activities rather intimidating. I wish I could do everything you do, with the exception of holding a distaff, mainly because I don't know what they are. But what I want to know most is, how did you ever get your kids to rise up and call you blessed? Forget the blessed part. How do you get them to rise up? Do you unplug the television so marbles in their back pockets tell them that couch potatoing is the leading cause of terminal acne? As for blessed, either you have a front seat in the car for each of them, or they all have their own Nintendo sets. You probably remember your kids' names and never embarrass them by wearing your bathrobe when you drive them to school or by drawing happy faces on your middle schooler's lunch bag. Are you perfect? Are you the superwoman everybody made you out to be? Do you always speak with wisdom? Are you always noble and worthy of praise? Or are you like me? Do you accidentally, on purpose, forget to apologize to the woman you yelled at the fifth grade field trip because it's easier not to? Do you tell yourself one more Oreo won't hurt, then cry because you're too fat? Do you tell one daughter no leg shaving until you're 13, then let the younger one do it at 11? Do you think God will only accept you if you live up to some incredibly high standard instead of relying on grace and grace alone? Mrs. P., perhaps I've been wrong about you. Maybe the secret to your life is not so much in the things you do, but in who you are. Still, you've managed to accomplish some pretty impressive things, and that brings me back to my original questions. How do you do all that you do? More specifically, am I able to do it too? We really should get together someday, perhaps on a day when you're not out selecting wool and flax or trading profitably or supplying merchants with sashes. Maybe you could give me some tips on how to be a virtuous woman in 3 easy lessons. I appreciate any help you can give me. Sincerely, Nancy. Now, we all wish we could do all those things, but maybe your life is more like this. Now, maybe your life feels like that, each plate representing a different role that you have, a mother, pastor's wife, Sunday school teacher, soul winner, and you just friend, and you just feel like, you know, you're trying to keep everything spinning and up and going every day. Now, it's pretty impressive. I mean, I was pretty impressed. I can't really do any of that for real. But doesn't it's tiring. I mean, it's just time-consuming. And so that's not how we want to make how we want to have our life balanced. If you have your Bible and you want to turn to Psalm 127, this is a very familiar verse to ladies, and I hope you'll allow me today to relate it. We usually think of motherhood when we read this psalm, but today I want you to look at it through the eyes of balance. Psalm 127. Let's all read it together, those five verses. Ready, begin. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Great. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you, and I'm thankful for every lady that's in this room. God, I pray that that you'll speak to our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to focus on what you want said. I pray, Lord, that all of us in this room can learn how we can have more balance in our life so that we can be more effective for you in our Christian walk. God, I pray that you'll guide us this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in your notes, we're going to see first that requirement, the requirement of balance. Now think about it. We're surrounded by things that require balance. Our universe requires balance. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, to me, I can't even imagine it. How the Lord allows Earth to stay just in the right distance from the sun so we don't burn up, or, you know, not too far away so that we all freeze to death, that we have just the right balance in our oxygen. So it's amazing to me how much our earth itself requires balance. And when God created us, he created us with a need for balance. I mean, I'm sure in this room, many of us are not gymnasts, but when we were young, we all had to learn to balance on two legs. So we've learned balance. How about riding a bike? Requires balance. Your stereo speakers probably has a button on it that says balance. And what about weight on airplanes? Did you hear about the one flight that it was a small flight, it was a rock star. She had too much luggage when she made them put the luggage on the plane, and they said it's not going to balance, and the plane crashed. So it's important that we have balance even on getting on an airplane. One time, I didn't know that. When I was younger, I had to get on a helicopter one time, and they asked how much I weighed. Well, I never tell the truth in that one area. And I didn't even weigh anything. Joke now, I'd tell you how much I weighed in a heartbeat if I weighed what I weighed then, you know. That guy looked at me, and so, you know, I made it 10 pounds less. I'm glad the helicopter didn't crash because of my line. I confessed it later, but... You hear about core balance. If you have a Wii, you works on your core balance. We have balanced budgets, not in our country, but hopefully in our home. Balanced diets, balanced checkbooks. So we see that balance is important, and it is required in our life. And it is needed. When any of those things get out of balance, disaster can happen. And it could be noisy. If it's your washing machine, we hear about it. If it's your tires on the car, you have a pretty rough road, don't you? So we need to have those balance. Now, one day I was on my way to church on a Sunday morning, and I had to stop at the store to get my three newspapers for my coupons. And so I got my three papers, and I was walking out, and a lady from behind yelled out to say hello to me. It was a church member. I turned around, and, you know, I'm going to give the wave, and I'm all happy, have my newspapers. But when I turned back around to walk outside, something happened and I lost my balance. Now, I didn't slip like, you know, where you go up and fall on your back. No, I was leaning forward. So in my mind, I thought if I just walk a little faster, my legs will catch up to where my head is and I won't fall. While I'm singing Tarzan, oh, very loudly, so that the whole store now could watch me lose my balance. And so then I thought, okay, running faster is not helping. I'm really going forward now, so I thought I need to grab a hold of something. And you know how they have those little metal stands that have the free newspapers, like the Penny Saver and all that? Well, I weighed, like, outweighed it by 1,000 pounds. So when I grabbed it, it was coming with me. So now I have me going, ah, as I'm going forward at a very fast speed, carrying this newspaper stand with me as it's hitting the ATM machine. So now I just have everybody's attention. And finally, I couldn't do it anymore. I spread eagle out on my face. I mean, my nose hit that thing so fast. And my purse, I never zip up my purse. In fact, today if you see my purse, it's not zipped. I have that terrible habit. So every content in my purse went flying because I was going so fast, went flying all over. You know, I couldn't just get up and run out, you know, like I wanted to do. I'm over there trying to pick up my stuff. And the only person that helped me, because I think everybody else was just so stunned about what I did, that only this 90-year-old man comes over, and he's helping me up. I'm going, oh, this is great, you know. Balance, it's important. And when you lose it, it can hurt. and it's rough. And so in our life, we need to have balance. Proverbs 16:11 says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's, and all the weights of the bag are his work. And so God has ordained us to have balance. So what is balance? We heard of many say it's a cookie in each hand, you know, for a balanced diet. Well, that's not balance. It's not necessarily equality. It's not that I spend 20 minutes with God, 20 minutes with my husband, 20 minutes with my kids, 20 minutes with my neighbors. It doesn't work that way. We don't have enough minutes in our day. So it's not that balance. That kind of balance. So today when I use the word balance, this is what I'm speaking of. It's not equality, but it's harmony. It's stability, steadfastness, and margin. Now, like I've said, I've had to speak on balance a number of times, and I still believe everything that I've said before about balance to be true. But I want to add something to it. And the point I want to add, or the point I have left out before, was this word margin, not having margin. Before, maybe you've seen this illustration. So many people have done it, and I've used rice and walnuts. But you've heard, I think, having priorities and putting the big rocks in first. And so you put your big rocks in, and then you put the next rocks in, and then you even put smaller rocks in. Have you done that before? Have you seen it? Now, are you like me? I have done this, but then all of a sudden, I get everything in. I get the sand in. I put the water in. You know, the idea is you have room for everything. And so that's what I do. But then why is it on some days, some weeks, you know what happens? It does overflow, doesn't it? I mean, I can put all this water in, and eventually, if I keep putting water in, it's going to what? It's going to overflow because it doesn't have margin. There's no margin there. And so in our life, we can put the big rocks in first, and then we can put the things that aren't as important in next, and then all the little things. But in my life, sometimes an important thing comes in the middle of my week that I didn't plan for. I have all my week planned out, and then all of a sudden this important thing comes in my life and I don't have room for it. It's overflowing. So we need to have that margin. We need to have limits. The vessel is only so big. And ladies, we're a vessel. The Bible talks about it. And there's only so much that our vessels can do. There is a limit. So eventually, if we just keep adding things, even though we put the big rocks in first, it's going to overflow if we don't allow for margin. And I tell you, we were given this topic 1 year ago, right after last leadership conference. I had an email of my two topics, and the one being balance. And God has a way of teaching you firsthand of what you're going to speak about. I said next year I want to speak on holiday, on spa treatments, money, anything, but I don't want trials and balance anymore. And so this year my husband had some issues and health problems, and it was one of the areas was we learned about that we needed to incorporate margin and balance into our life. Margin is that space that once existed between ourselves and our limits. When we reach the limits of our resources and abilities, we're out of margin. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, that in this requirement for balance, we need to have margin in our life. We are vessels with limits, but I wanted to say on top of that is that, praise the Lord, God is not limited. And though we do have limits, God doesn't. And so let's, number two, see the reality of balance. We see that there's a requirement for it, and now the reality. And the reality is it evades us. It's like humility. Humility and balance, once you think you have it, you don't have either one. And so it does its best to stay away from us. And think about it. We live in 2011. We have more technology, more time-saving devices than in any other time in history. We have, and I thank the Lord for that, by the way. I'm not complaining by any means. But we have dishwashers. We have sewing machines. We have super grocery stores. We have one-stop shopping. We have computers, emails, cell phones. We have fast food, and we even have instant food. And you will think that with all these time-saving devices and technology, we should have more time. We should all be sitting around every afternoon going, I wonder what I want to do for the next 2 hours. And eating bonbons and, you know, having our feet up and getting a rest. But how many does that? How many of you have that happen every day of your life? No. In fact, there was a poll done, and it said that everybody polled said that they have less time to do the things that they really want to do. They feel overwhelmed, overworked, overloaded, overstressed, and they are sick and tired. And literally, I mean sick and tired. And so, but it hasn't, it's always been that way through time. My husband gave me a quote this week that he got a kick out of too. It said, year by year, the complexities of this spinning world grow more bewildering, and so each year we need all the more to seek peace and comfort in the joyful simplicities. Now that's a good quote, but this is what really caught our attention. It was in a Women's Home Companion magazine, dated December of 1935. So it hasn't changed. For the last 70 years, we're all sitting there trying to figure out, how can we get more time? How can we get in balance? And so, and you know that cliche, burning the candle at both ends? We find ourselves doing that. But God doesn't want us to do that. Back in our text, Psalm 127, verse 2, it says, it's vain or empty for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows. That means to worry. Let me read it again. Does this sound maybe like you at your home? Rising up early, going to bed late, and worrying? Does that fit anybody in this room? Got quiet in here. And it says, but he giveth his beloved sleep. God doesn't want us to do that. God doesn't want us to get up early and then have to stay up late to get it all done and then worrying if we're going to be able to get it done. He wants us to be able to have that rest, to have that margin in our life. Now, I've tried some things that don't work, and let me tell you what they are. Asking God for more time that no one else knows about. Now, you may laugh, but do you remember in the Old Testament God had the sun and the moon stand still? He did it once. Couldn't he do it again just for me? And I've asked the Lord, but you know what? That is really, I know God can do it. And if he did do it, do you know what I do? I'd ask for it tomorrow, too. I'd ask for it the next day, because it isn't the fact that we need more time. We need to know what to do with the time that we have. And number two, I've tried taking mega vitamins. You know, with the ones that say with more energy, that guarantee that you're not going to get tired at 2 o'clock. They don't work. This is my favorite that I've done before, buying a new planner. I have a pink planner, a red planner, a black planner, a blue planner, a brown planner. In fact, I have more than one black planner. And you know what? That doesn't make me get more done. It doesn't make me bored balanced. I just keep thinking it's that next one. It's like those magazines at the store, you know, lose 15 pounds in 2 days, and you think that one's really going to work. And then they don't. And then planners, if your first one doesn't work, none of them are going to work, you know. So getting a new planner to take control of our life is not going to work. Just focusing in then on just being a good mom. Then that's what I'm going to do. I'll be a good mom. The rest are adults, and they can all. Everybody else can take care of themselves. Well, God didn't mean it that way either. He has a purpose for our life, and so he needs us to figure out how to balance those purposes. We can multitask. We can work harder. And some people even quit, and that's not what God wants us to do either. But all those things will not help us to get balance. So what do we need to do? We need to figure out what's not working. Somebody said the key to keeping your balance is knowing when you've lost it. So many times, you know, you're just so into trying to get stuff done and to fulfill all your roles, you don't even realize you're out of balance. And so we need to figure out what is not working. So how do you know if it's not working? Well, are you spending less time with the Lord than you used to? Is your devotional time shorter? Is it rushed? How many of you have said, okay, just a verse this morning because I got to get out the door? And so that's a time that says, okay, something's not working here. Are you so tired that you fall asleep in church? Like sometimes I think my eyes are connected to my knees. When my knees bend to sit down, my eyes close. Well, that is a good indication that something is not right. You're stressed or frustrated or irritable or all of those things is a good indication that something is wrong, is something is not working. And maybe it's your health, fatigue, migraines, anxiety, stomach problems, blood pressure, depression, and the list can go on. All indicators that something is not working. I remember back in a while back when we first came to Lancaster, if you were at my house, I served everything on dishes, glass dishes, real dishes, ones that you had to wash. Because I thought, you know, how rude it would be for me to serve something on paper plates. Well, many a nights I stayed up most of the night doing all the dishes, all the serving bowls and everything, staying up quite late. And then the next day just being worthless because I was so tired. It wasn't working. So I decided I'm going paper. And my kids are in here and they could tell you I even do paper now just for our family. Because what's more important to me is spending time with them rather than spending all the time. And I still have plenty of dishes to do. I don't know why, but they still come. But when something is not working and you're spending too much time and you're tired and you're fatigued and you're stressed and you're depressed because things aren't working, well, then we need to change that. Maybe something else that you never sit down with your family for family dinners. Or when was the last time you sat down as a family to dinner? Something is not working. When was the last time you went soul winning? If you can't remember, something is not working. So take a look at your life and ask the Lord, what is it that's in my life that's making this not work? In Psalm 26:2, the Bible says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. Ask the Lord, Lord, am I doing something that someone else can do?" And ladies, if your pastor's wife's in here, you can delegate. They probably could do a better job than you're doing and enjoy it. And so ask the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about quitting here. I'm just talking about maybe there's some things that you can let go of and let somebody else do it. So you can ask yourself, why is this not working? Then determine how it got that way. Now, it's easy to blame others. I have this example that I made up in my head the other day or when I wrote this, and today if it didn't come true, so I'm not going to do that anymore either. But I was supposed to meet some ladies here at 8 o'clock to frost the cakes, and I didn't get here till 8:15. Now, I could have. I wanted to, but I knew what my notes said. Now, I said just late for a meeting. I didn't say to have frost cakes. But it would be easy to blame and point fingers at why I was late this morning, because somebody in my family asked for breakfast, not cereal either, a cooked breakfast. So that made me a little bit later than I was planning on doing. You could say that the traffic, I mean, I could have made it to my house and here on a normal day. I can do it in about 2 minutes. But this morning, because we have all these delegates here, I didn't want to kill any of them in the parking lot, but it probably took me 10 minutes to get from that driveway over to this building. And so I could have said, well, now, if all these people would have been in the auditorium, I could have been on time. And we can blame fingers, but what really was is that I was out of balance. I should have planned better and got up earlier and not planned everything so that you, at the end of the day, are always running behind, apologizing for being late. And we need to acknowledge that most of the time, it is us, it is me, that is making my life out of balance. It really wasn't the person that asked me for breakfast this morning, and it wasn't because people were walking on the street when I was pulling in. That wasn't the reason why I was late. It is me. You know, they say if you point your finger at somebody, you got three pointing back at you. And a lot of times, though, we don't want to admit that it's us that's out of balance. We'd rather blame other people and be in denial. Again, ask the Lord, Psalm 139:24, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, am I doing something that you would not have me to do? And then lead me into the way everlasting. Are you overcommitting? Do you lose your focus? Are you wasting time? And so ask the Lord, show me, Lord, what needs to change in my life. And then ask yourself, are you trying to please God or are you trying to please man? And if you are a people pleaser, many times we can get wrapped up in that we want to please others. And I like to please others. I want to make them happy. And I want to make sure that, you know, if they're at my house, I want to make sure they're taken care of. And if I have a responsibility, I want to make sure everybody's okay. And sometimes I just don't ever want to say no, and I overcommit, and I'm trying to please others rather than pleasing the Lord. So figure out what's not working. Determine how it got that way. And sometimes it is really somebody else, and maybe you need to sit down with that person and say, you know, we need to talk schedules here, and I'm only able to do so much, and this is where my limits lie. And so can you help me with that? And then we need to work on how to fix that. And that brings me to point number three, the routine of balance, or these are the daily disciplines that we need to do so we can maintain that margin or the balance in our life. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us there's a time for everything. And we need to make sure that we do put a time to those things that we have to do. And how do we get that balance back into our life? First, we need to focus on the Lord. In Psalm 127, our text here, verse 1, it says, the first three words say, accept the Lord. And so we can do everything in our power. We can be misorganized and try to plan everything and be really detailed. But if we don't have the Lord, it's all in vain. And so for us to have true balance and true margin, we need to make sure that the Lord is included in it and seek him first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so let's make sure that we're seeking the Lord. And we, of course, do that through our prayer, Bible reading, and study. But if we're not careful, our time that we spend with the Lord can be us telling him what we have to do, like as if he doesn't know already. I mean, he knows what we have to do. But I have caught myself praying, Lord, I have to do this today, this today, this today. And then I say, and Lord, I need you to help me get it all done. Like, and it's terrible. I look back and I say, sorry, Lord, that just sounded like I was just telling the Lord what to do. And so we need to be careful, and we need to be like this. Lord, today I'm surrendering my calendar, my plans, all those to-do lists that I have to get done. I'm surrendering it to you. But most importantly, I want to do, Lord, what you want. I want that one thing that you want to do. Now, if you've been married any length of time, you kind of know what your husband likes, don't you? or what you should do. A couple years ago, my girls, when they were still actually in college, it was Christmas Eve, and they went to Walmart, and they were hit in the parking lot. Well, Christine was driving. It was her first time to be in a fender bender, and Danielle, our type A personality, jumped up and said, "Christine, don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything." And she jumped out of the car, and she went over to the lady, and she gave her her name and her address and her driver's license and all the insurance information. And then she got back in the car. They drove home, and they came home, and Danielle started telling my husband. My husband said, he interrupted her. He said, "Danielle, just give me her information." And then Danielle's face went blank. She didn't get the lady's information at all, and it was the lady that hit them. So my husband said, "Scoot over." He got in the car. He drove back. And I think the lady was so dumbfounded. She was still sitting in the parking lot where Danielle left him. And they were able to exchange information. But here Danielle thought she knew what her dad wanted. Just didn't get the whole part of it. And sometimes we think we know what the Lord wants. But let's check with him and make sure, "Lord, what is it that you want us to do today?" Martin Luther said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer." Does anybody do that in the room? Because if you do, I want to talk to you afterwards. Ah, I just see that, and I know it's true. I know the more that I spend. Now, I know when I'm busy, I do try to spend more time with the Lord, because I do know that this would work. And we need to spend more time with him, getting his will and his direction for our life. Now, a few weeks ago, or a couple months ago, an opportunity came up here at church, and my husband was talking about it, and inside me, there was a little me that was going, "Pick me, pick me." I kept thinking, "I know that. I know how to do that. I could do that. Go ahead and pick me." And you know what? My husband kept talking to me. It was like I wasn't even there. I mean, he didn't see my little hand in my heart going up and saying, "I want to do that thing." But you know what? In reality, if my husband even did ask me to do it, later on, I would have been overwhelmed. I would have been stressed. And I know I would have been sitting on my bed one day just crying, saying, "Why did I have to do this?" Because it's not what God wanted me to do at the time. Yeah, I was qualified to do it, and I could have done it, but it didn't mean I had to do it. There was a sign that I saw once that says, "Every opportunity is not an obligation." And sometimes we overcommit because we want to, you know, raise our hand and say, "I'll do it, I'll do it." Again, that's when we need to go back and ask the Lord, "What is it that you want us to do?" And surrendering our life, our calendar, our planner to him. And if we would only be more like Christ, look through scriptures, and when I see Christ, I see that he rested. I see that he had priorities. He would go someplace first because that's where he needed to be. And he was doing what he was called to do. And that's what we need to do. Maybe you've heard this poem. It says, "A basketball in my hands is worth about $19, but a basketball in Michael Jordan's hand is worth about $33 million. It depends whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hand is worth about $6, but a baseball in Mark McGuire's hands is worth $19 million. It just depends whose hands it's in. A tennis racket is useless in my hands, but a tennis racket in Pete Sampras' hand is a Wimbledon championship. It just depends whose hands it's in. A rod in my hands will keep away a wild animal, but a rod in Moses' hands will part the mighty sea. It just depends whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hands is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hand is a mighty weapon. It just depends whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands will make a couple of fish sandwiches. But two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands will feed thousands. It just depends whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands will produce salvation for the entire world. It depends whose hands it's in. And as you see now, it depends whose hands it's in. So put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, and this is what I added, your schedule, your to-do list, your calendar, and your relationships into God's hands, because it depends whose hands it's in. And if we would do that, our life would be so much more valuable when we let God control what we do. So focus on the Lord. That's one daily discipline. Another daily discipline is to be careful of time wasters. Let me give you IE. TV, internet, Twitter, Facebook, emails, gossiping, procrastination. Now, some of those things, besides gossip and procrastination, are not necessarily bad things in themselves. So I'm not teaching against that at all. But sometimes the amount of time that could be spent, and maybe it's just me, but, you know, you get on Facebook and then you see somebody quoted somebody else or something, and then you click on them to go see who they are. And, you know, I have a friend from childhood that I keep trying to find on Facebook. I can't believe she's just not on there. She should know I'm looking for her. But, you know, I can look at the time and 20 minutes, 30 minutes have gone by. And what have I accomplished? Nothing. So it's not that it's bad. It's just we need to be careful of how much time we spent on it. Now, this, I can't even believe this, but in News Report, August 19th, 2010, it said this: we now spend one half of our waking hours, approximately 7 hours, on the phone, Twitter, email, computer, watching TV, or some other type of technology. 7 hours. Well, I'm safe there. I don't spend 7 hours, and I don't think anybody in this room has time to spend 7 hours. But it is amazing if that is even half true. I just can't believe how much time people spend watching TV even. I mean, it doesn't take long to watch a movie. Okay, that's a couple hours. They say, you know, 3 and 4 hours a day that a child will watch TV. That's a lot of time that's being wasted. So let's beware of the time that we spend with potential time wasters. And set a timer. If you're going to go on Twitter and Facebook or on the phone talking to somebody, set a timer if you know that is a weak spot for you. And then have a purpose when you get on the internet. Again, I could be looking for a recipe and for a certain thing, and it shows me all these other pictures of all this other delicious food that I want to try one day. And again, it could just snowball until you're on the internet for a lot longer than I had planned. So have a purpose, set a timer, be aware of how much time that you spend on time wasters. And another daily discipline is to include margin. So calendarize your time and leave room for it. Just don't let your life just, you know, whatever happens, happens. That's not going to work. So you want to calendarize it, but do leave time for rest and time that's not planned. Because if you're like me, again, I might say, oh, this will just take me an hour. And then you find out, oh, boy, it's really an hour and a half. You're going to go make a visit and just stay for 10 minutes, and they don't let you leave. And, you know, I always like to bring my kids when they were little. They can't do it now, because when they're little, it's okay. When they're big and they tell you, Mommy, you got to go, doesn't work really well. But sometimes those visits, you know, you could be there for a lot longer, and sometimes that's necessary. I'm not saying that every visit has to be a fast visit. But include sometimes for margin. Somebody said it's not prioritizing what's on the schedule. It's scheduling the priorities. So schedule those things that are important. And then avoid becoming overextended. And ask yourself as you're calendarizing your week, would God be pleased? You know, is this what you want me to do, Lord? Give me direction. What is it that you would be pleased with if I accomplished today? Would my husband be pleased? And on that note, I don't know about you, but when my husband gives me one thing to do, if he said, Terry, I want you to go pick up that dry cleaning, and I do that, I feel good. I got the one thing. That means if I didn't get dinner exactly on table at 5 o'clock, or, you know, I didn't get this done, when he comes home, I can say, I did the one thing you asked me to do. I picked up the dry cleaning. And so it gives me that sense of peace, like, at least I did the one thing that he did ask me to do. Now, it has been turned around. I have cleaned the house, made dinner, and my husband walks home, and he says, did you go to the dry cleaner? And then it's like, oh, I forgot. And I can see the look on my husband's face. And I know he doesn't say it, but I can see it probably says, I only asked you to do one thing, and you didn't do it. And I think, does the Lord do that? Does the Lord say, this is what I want you to do? And then at the end of the day, you know, he looks and We didn't do the thing he wants us to do. We just did all those other things. So see if the Lord will be pleased, if your husband will be pleased. Does it make a difference in my life or in somebody's life? Does it matter in light of eternity? So ask yourself the things that you do. Is it important enough to be on your calendar? And then leave those margins in your day. Don't overschedule. Don't skip lunch. Don't stay up late. God gives us time to do it every day in the normal working time frame. Now, let me also put another disclaimer. It's like a balance. You know, I tell you to schedule everything and and never be out of balance. But let me tell you, sometimes it's okay to be out of balance. Sometimes there's going to be times where maybe we're learning to do something new, or we're adding a new program, and it means that maybe on one particular Saturday we're going to be giving a little bit more time than we had anticipated. That's okay. It's when we stay there in that stress. A good example I think of is Christmas time. You know, that's the time where we usually all get out of the little bit of balance. But it's okay because we're not doing that same thing in January. Then we go back into our other routine. And so don't overschedule. And remember that it's easier to say no when there's a deeper yes burning inside. So if you're always the person that says yes, think of those things that are more important, our children, a growing baby Christian, those things that we can spend time with. So focus on the Lord, avoid the time wasters, include margin in our schedule, and then letter D, simplify and declutter, or fourthly, or just dot. To simplify and declutter. Now, if you look at my notes, there's nothing underneath that because I'm learning that right now. I am not somebody that simplifies and declutters on my own. And I know I look out here and some of you, my friends, you know, everything, you get rid of it when you're not using it. And I wish I could be that way. But in my closet, I have every size. So if anybody needs to borrow a dress, I have your size in my closet somewhere. But this year, God has convicted me of it, and I am working on it. So actually, every week, I've been giving a stack of clothes away. And I keep thinking if I lose enough weight, then I'll just get a new wardrobe one day. That's how I have to keep looking at it. But with mail, how many of you, if you're like me, this is where, again, another one of my weaknesses, is I'll read the same email 50 times. If you look on my computer right now, I probably have 1,000 emails on there. Because I read them to see if it's an emergency. And if it's not an emergency, then I come back to it. And then I read it again. And then if it's an action item, I leave it on there and I'll come back to it. And then, you know what I'm saying? And so I can read one email that you guys send me. I can read it 100 times before I actually either respond or, and if I haven't responded, that's because it's still sitting on my 1,000 of other emails on my on my computer. But you know what? Read the email one time and then do whatever you need to do and delete it. Same thing with house mail. You know, I have a stack of things that are really ridiculous. It's a free mail that we get. You know what I mean? Who reads that but me? I know. I'm over there reading to resident all the time. You know, it's like I have other things I can do, just but there might be something in there that I might need someday, so I want to read it. But we can simplify and declutter. We don't sometimes stuff. I like I said, this is what I'm working on, but I sometimes can have so much stuff and I can't find out where I put it because it doesn't have a place. Everybody says put everything back in its place. Well, right, if I had a place for everything, I would. But I have too much, so we're working on that. But the Lord convicted me, so I added it in here. And then next, serve the Lord with joy. Another daily discipline. And under that, I put things like just little tips that help me serve the Lord with joy. Is one, I get up ready to work. I don't want to procrastinate. That's a time waster. That's where margin loses. So get those things down. Compel others to help you. You don't have to, again, do it all by yourself. Delegate. And then don't quit. And balance does not mean lukewarmness. That doesn't mean, okay, I'm never going to clean my house because it doesn't really matter in eternity. It's all going to burn anyway. That doesn't fly either. So, again, there's that balance. You know, we just don't quit and do nothing. you know, unless it's just so important. There is a balance there, but by all means, don't quit. Or never say, I'm just not going to offer to help anymore because I don't know when to say no. No, you know, ask maybe your husband to help you on when things you can say yes. And then lastly, let me give you number four, the reward of balance. And our time is going, so I'll be quick. But in the last three verses there, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalm 127, I see an abundant Christian fruitful life and the reward of labor. And God is going to reward us when we put balance into our life. He's going to give us an abundant life, a life that's fruitful through Jesus Christ. He's going to give us flexibility so that when something comes into our life that was unplanned, unexpected, we can fit it in. Or when, we always think it's somebody else that interrupts us, but sometimes it's God that interrupts us. And God has us, wants us to do something. And then we'll have peace. We won't be worried or stressed or frustrated. And then we'll have health. We'll have rest. And we'll have happy memories. And cherished memories. And cherishing the moment. Especially if you still have kids or with friends or with other relatives. I'll tell you a quick story. One time, it was a Sunday afternoon. We had people over. I was doing dishes. And our kitchen, our family room was one room. And Matt said, Mom, come watch Lakers with me. Everybody's gone. You come watch Lakers with me. In my heart, I wanted to say, no, I'm almost done with the dishes. And I want to finish. And for some reason, God prompted me to go ahead and sit down and watch a Lakers game with Matthew on a Sunday afternoon. And so when I went to church, I didn't have time to finish wiping out the sink, you know, and that's probably the thing that people see the most. And I didn't get the sink wiped out. And there were a few things left that didn't get put away. That night after church, my husband invites the staff over. And the whole way home, I was so angry at myself. I said, why did I sit down and watch a stupid Lakers game when I should have just finished doing my dishes? And so, I mean, I apologized, and but my spirit was just, it was just the whole night, I could have cried if anybody would have said anything to me. Well, about 2 weeks later, Matt came over. I was doing something in the kitchen again, and he came over, and he just wrapped his arms around my waist. And I said, what, Matt? He said, I just wanted to say thank you for watching that Lakers game with me. Oh, guess what? I don't care if the whole world saw my house a mess. That meant more to me that he remembered that I sat down and watched a Lakers game. Him and I share that moment. And that's much more important. And so there's a lot of moments out there like that if we will just create that margin and that balance in our life. Now, I learned something about doing laundry, and I'm sure you have too. Now, my philosophy is put as much in the washer as you can so you have less loads. And all of a sudden, you hear that terrible noise. What does that mean? Out of balance. Now, I, honest to goodness, and I, this person did not know what I was going to say, but somebody came up to me 2 days ago and said, oh, I had to get a new washer. She said she shoved so much stuff into the washer, and the balance thing went off, but with hers, it did something to the motor, so she had to get a whole new washing machine out of it. But you know what? We can't get a new life. If we're out of balance and we shove things into our life all the time and all the time, we can't get a new life. God's only given us one chance on this earth to make a difference and to fulfill our purpose. And so when you get those warning signals that something's out of balance, don't ignore it because it's going to destroy our effectiveness.